They want to go down, and then if you would turn your Bibles with me this morning to Luke chapter 24, and we're going to look into God's Word on this Resurrection Sunday, Luke chapter 24, and we'll read the first 9 verses. And so as you're turning, if you would stand with me in honor of reading God's Word this morning, Luke chapter 24, and we'll begin in verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, 2 men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulcher, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Father, thank you so much for your word. Lord, the promises, Lord, the story of the resurrection. I just pray now, Father, that you would just be with our time these next few moments. And Lord, I just pray that you would just meet with us here. Lord, I ask that you would just put your Holy Spirit's anointing upon this place, upon this pulpit, upon this message. Father, I just pray that you would stir hearts and lives in a way that only you can. Be with the young people downstairs. Lord, just meet with them. Lord, I pray this, that you would just help the seed of your word to find good ground in our heart this morning. Lord, may we be passionate about the resurrection. May we be passionate about the gospel message. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. When we think of the resurrection, we can't help but not think about the cross. We can't help not think about the results of the cross. If you think through of if you were going to put yourself in this time frame, in this era, if you would, and the priest, right? They're finally rid of the one who spoke with such authority. They had to be happy about it. You think of the Pharisees, they were rid of whose life revealed their sin. You think of the authorities, they were rid of the tumult of the crowd and the unrest and the frustration that it caused. You think of Peter, boastful before, but broken now. You think of Joseph of Arimathea, cowardly before, but courageous now. The effects of the cross. Imagine, if you would, just think back for a moment. I know we know how the story ends, and we praise God for it, but I want you to think. Put yourselves in the mind of verse 1, of the others, of these ladies going to the tomb, of them going to take care of and try to preserve the body of their Savior Jesus. Look at verse 1, the impact of the women. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. Think about the women as they make their way to the tomb to embalm the Lord's body. They were there, and it was the first day of the week, as we honor today being the Lord's day. It was early in the morning, right? It was the first sunrise service. I know many had sunrise services today, and they can be just a sweet time, just a special time. But as they arrive, the stone is rolled away. They had worried about the safekeeping of Jesus' body. If you remember, again, with the death here, we have the disciples. They were kind of on one side, and they were concerned. They were worried that someone would come and steal the body of Christ. They were worried that someone would desecrate even more the body of their Savior. And then you had the other side of the pendulum, if you will. You had the Pharisees. And they were worried that the disciples would come. Why? Because they knew that Jesus had preached that after 3 days he would rise again. And they were worried that he would that the disciples would come and steal the body and start making claims of Jesus' resurrection. So they had sealed the tomb. They had rolled the stone. They had placed a guard, not to protect the memory of Jesus, but rather to protect themselves, their own message. But the women remembered his words. Look at verse 5. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified again, and the third day rise again. And then verse 8, and they remembered his words. We see the first question in verse 5, Why seek ye the living among the dead? That's quite a question, isn't it? It's really a profound and it's really a very important question. Why do you seek the Savior in the cemetery? Yet that's what we try to do today sometimes, don't we? We seek things that are dead. Why do you seek the living among the dead? I praise the Lord for the knowledge that if we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, if we have him in our heart, that one day we'll see that loved one again. This past week alone, I had 3 friends go on to glory. Some I hadn't seen for some time, and one I saw just a few weeks ago. Liz and I stood by his bedside, and we prayed with he and his wife, and he was non-communicative, and we sang, and we just lifted him up to glory. Why? Because we had the promise. We know that one day we're going to see him again. That one day we'll see him again, that side of glory. Now listen, I also believe this, that when we get to heaven, the first thing I don't believe we're going to do is run and find those who have gone before us. We like to think that, and it's not wrong to think it, but you know the first thing we're going to do when we get to heaven? You know what's going to be the desire of our heart more than any other? Is to see Jesus. To sit at his feet, to just embrace the one who died, the one who suffered, the one who paid the price for my sin, for your sin, the one who became sin for us. When we get to heaven, that's going to be the first thing we're going to want to do. Why? Why seek ye the living among the dead? There's no reason to do that. I know in our fleshly desires, we miss people. Our heart aches, and that's natural. That's all right. But these two men, these angels, ask that question. And then we see the answer. Why are you seeking him? Why? Because he is not here. Don't look for the Savior in the cemetery, folks. Don't look for the Savior in a place of death, in a place of destruction. Why? Because he's not there. You can go to any religious leader who's ever lived on this planet. And you know what? If you know where their tomb is, you can go and you can visit that tomb. Whether it be Gandhi, whether it be of someone of Hindu or someone of the disciple, anybody. And you can dig up their bodies and you can find that shell. You can find those bones. Those bones are there. They're dead men's bones. But you know what? You can't go to the tomb of Jesus and find a body. You can't go to the tomb and see that Christ is there. Why? Because he's risen. He's risen indeed. And that's what we celebrate today. That's the joy of the gospel. That's the message. That's the good news that we love so much, that we teach, that we preach, that Lord willing, hopefully, we understand. Why? Revelations 1:18 tells us, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. That's the message, folks. Why? Because Jesus was dead. There is no doubt, whether you want to look at medically or scientifically or otherwise, Jesus died upon the cross. When they shove the spear in his side, and I don't mean to be gruesome by this, but I want you to understand, when they say, when the scripture tells us about the blood and the water separated and poured out, that's essentially congestive heart failure. And when they would spear, when the Romans would spear somebody like that, they were trying to spear them in the heart to assure their death. Jesus was dead. Now, he wasn't dead because the soldier pierced him. Please understand. That's not what we're teaching. That's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus died, and we know he died. Why? Because he gave up the ghost. No man took Jesus' life. Jesus gave his life upon the cross of Calvary. He gave it for all humanity. He gave it for all that we may come to know him as our personal Lord and Savior. Jesus gave of his life, and he was dead, but he says, "Behold, I am alive forevermore." Jesus rules and reigns in heaven today, and we're so thankful for that message. We're so thankful for knowing that and understanding it. But you know what? We understand it because we're on this side of the cross, and I praise God that we are, but we're on this side. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, we're going to look at three passages fairly quickly. They're all in Matthew. Jesus foretells, he prophesies of his death. Again, put yourself in your mind for just a few moments in that of the disciples, in that of his mother, in that of the others that were surrounding him. Listen to the words that Christ said. Matthew chapter 12, and look at verse 40. You see, we see in verse 8 in our previous text the word remember. Matthew 12, verse 40 says, "For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be that 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Now, turn to Matthew chapter 20. In Matthew 12, Jesus is using this as an example to help the people understand. Listen, Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights. He's making a correlation. He's making a connection, trying to get them to understand of what was to come. Again, Jesus was still alive at this point. It wasn't at the cross at this point. Matthew chapter 20, look at verse 18. "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death." Turn to one more passage, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 2. In Matthew 20, he's talking about the betrayal. He's talking about his condemnation to death on the cross. Matthew chapter 26, verse 2, it says, "And ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." In these three passages, Christ tells his disciples very clearly of what was to come. That he was going to be betrayed, that the priests were going to take him, that they were going to condemn him to death. Sometimes we're hard on the disciples, aren't we? We're like, how couldn't they understand? Because even at this point, even as the ladies are going to the tomb that Easter morning, they don't understand. They still don't get it. They're missing something. How can the truth was right there in front of the disciples? Jesus had told them time and time and time again, but they didn't get it, did they? You know what's the truth, though? Oftentimes, how frequently does it happen that the truth is right in front of us? That we see, we read, we understand the Word of God, but we just don't get it. We don't take it and we don't apply it to our hearts and lives. We're hard on the disciples. We kind of beat them up. I mentioned a few moments ago, but we're on this side of the cross. We know what happened. We see the big picture. But folks, sometimes we miss what God has for us right in front of us. I want to challenge you this morning. Don't miss what God has for you. Don't miss the plan that he has intended for every Christian, for everyone in whom believes. Turn back to our text in Luke 24. And I want you to look at verse 8. It's one of the shorter verses of the text, but it's so important. Here the ladies had just come to the tomb. It's been rolled away. The body's missing. These two angels tell them, "Don't you remember Then verse 8 says, and they remembered his words. All of a sudden, it came to them. They remembered what Christ had said back in Matthew. They remembered what Christ had told them. I want to ask you a question this morning, individually, personally. Do you remember the first time that the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart? Do you remember the first time, whether you were in a service or whether you're reading scripture or whether you were praying and the Holy Spirit just pricked your heart? When you heard the message of salvation, when you heard about whom Jesus was, who Jesus is, that he died and he was buried and he rose again. Do you remember that first time you heard that message? And the Holy Spirit stirred your heart. And you said, I need that. I want that good news of the gospel for me. Do you remember when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Folks, I'll ask the question, did it bring joy to your heart? Was it uplifting? Was it something that you just say, wow, that's amazing? And I don't mean some, you know, super emotional experience. I'm not talking about the emotion of it. I'm talking about the joy of it. I'm talking about Jesus doing that good work in you. I'll also ask this question, maybe this morning, this is one of the first times you've ever felt the prick of the Holy Spirit. Maybe this is one of the first times you've ever felt him work or move, or you just say, there's something missing in my life. Maybe you say, I just don't understand. You see, the Bible tells us very clearly. It tells us that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, this is the message of the gospel. We're all sinners. Sin is very simply anything that we think, do, or say that goes against the law, the work, or the word of God. We've all done it. It doesn't matter if you're a small infant at 2 years old or if you're 102 years old, we've all sinned. We're all sinners. But God also tells us that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that Christ, God hath risen from the dead, we shall be saved. See, the scripture doesn't stop just with the sin. Why? Because for the wages of sin is death. We deserve to die. We deserve to go to hell. That's what every single human being, minus Christ, who's ever walked this planet, deserves. I've said this many times. If that verse stopped right there, I wouldn't be standing in front of you this morning. Why? Because there'd be no hope. There'd be no purpose. There'd be no reason for it. But it doesn't. For the wages of sin is death, but what? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that one day when we die, we can spend eternity with him forever if we simply confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. They remembered. Folks, I want to say this morning. Maybe you've been struggling with this. Maybe you've been stirred by it. I don't know. But Scripture also tells us that today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Don't wait till a more convenient time. Today is the day of salvation. The ladies remembered. They remembered the words of Christ. They remembered the things that he had prophesied. Now we see that they returned to the others. Look at verse 9. And they returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. I want you to think about their state of their hearts as they arrived at the tomb. Think about that just a moment. They're going to the tomb to continue the embalming process of Jesus, their Lord. Sad. Discouraged. Every step, a painful reminder that Jesus was dead. Every step pricking their hearts that their Savior, their Messiah, had been murdered. At this point, they still don't get it, do they? At this point, they still haven't put the puzzle pieces together. They came to anoint his body, to do the work of an undertaker, but God had already undertaken the greatest feat in all of history, the risen Messiah. God had already done the great work of raising Jesus from the dead. Think about the change in pace as they return from the tomb to go and tell the others. The quick step, the excited heart. What a difference your life is and your walk is when you know that He lives. You need to remember who Christ is. Maybe this morning, you either need to come to Him, or maybe you need to return to Him. Maybe you've strayed. Maybe you've wandered away. Maybe you've already accepted Christ and you know you're heaven bound, and we praise God for it, but maybe you're just not where He needs you to be. Maybe you're not in obedience and you just need to return to Him. In verse 9, we see their return, but then we also see their report. It says, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Think about the excitement that they had. What a change. Listen to this. They went to be morticians and they left as missionaries. They went to embalm a body and they came back with the good news of the gospel. The completed work of Christ had been done on the cross and the resurrection. They went to the tomb with their hands full of spices and they returned with their hearts filled with songs and their mouths filled with sermons. They went to anoint a body and they returned to announce a blessing. The greatest message that the world had ever heard. The good news of the gospel. That Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. You say, Pastor, you're putting a lot of time on this. Listen, the Bible puts a whole lot of emphasis on this. Every book of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, every piece, every part of it points to one thing and one thing alone. You know what that is? Jesus Christ. Every part of the Word of God points to Jesus Christ. Why? Because there was a need. There is a need. The need of all mankind. Since the fall in the garden and the sin of humanity, there was a need for a Savior. There's a need for a sacrifice. That perfect Lamb of God who comes, who came to take the sin of the world. You think about this time. You think of the need of those whom He spoke. Think about Peter right now. Before he heard about the resurrection, he had just denied his Lord and Savior three times. He had just done the unimaginable thing. You know, one of the things I love so much about Jesus and everything He does, man, is with a purpose. We didn't read it in this passage of Scripture, but we know in Matthew, whenever he tells Mary Magdalene, go and tell the others, but especially Peter. You see, He didn't hold a grudge. He didn't have hatred or contempt against Peter. He loved Peter. He cared about him. And he knew that his heart was breaking. You think about John being heartbroken as well. You think about the discouragement of the disciples. You think about the discouragement of hundreds, if not thousands of others that had seen their Jesus die. But you see, the risen Christ met their need. And He can meet your need as well. He died not for one, but He died for all. He died that all may come to repentance, that all might come and accept Him as Lord and Savior. They came as morticians. They left as missionaries. God's purpose, Jesus' message to the world was to do what? Go, tell, make. Tell others about Christ. Make disciples. Bring people to a saving knowledge and understanding of who Christ is. Listen, folks, every one of us have that need. The need is this, to just invite Christ into our hearts and lives. You see, we're all dead in our sin. Upon the very birth of our life, we're dead in sin. But once we're saved, Once we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are now dead to sin. And that's so important. So just vital for us to understand. Do you realize that with the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Christ, there was over 353 prophecies fulfilled. 353 prophecies fulfilled. Jesus, unlike any other human who's ever walked this planet. Why? Because he's 100% God and he's 100% man. Now listen, our responsibility is to do the same, to be missionaries, to go and tell the good news to the world. Listen, that is a responsibility of every single person who's accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. If you are saved and you are heaven bound, your responsibility is to go and tell the good news. You may not go across the sea or around the world to do it, but you know what you do need to do? Go across the street. You know what we do need to do is just invite people. Invite them to come to church. But more importantly, it's not about the church. It's not about the building. It's about sharing the good news of the gospel. Every single Christian has that responsibility. You say, Pastor, I'm going to leave that to you. Nope, not good enough. Pastor, I'm going to leave that to our missionaries. We got a bunch of missionaries we support. Praise God for them. You know what? I don't feel led, called, or desired to be in Papua New Guinea out in the bush reaching people. But I praise God for those who do. I thank God for the Florence family. I thank God for our other missionaries around the world who do that. But our responsibility is right here in our Jerusalem, in our West Bend and greater area to tell the good news of the gospel. You might say, Pastor, that sounds really interesting, but I don't really know. I don't know if I understand this. See, the most important thing that everyone needs to understand is first and foremost that they're a sinner, that we're undeserving of the grace of God. We don't deserve what Jesus did upon the cross. No one does. But we need to believe that Jesus died and he rose again. We need to confess with our mouth that we're sinners, and we need to believe that he will save us. You know what you have to do in order for him to save you? You just ask. You just ask. It's the greatest message ever given. It's the greatest truth ever known. And truthfully, it's the easiest way that anyone can ever understand. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Good works won't do it. Coming to church, it's not going to cut it. Giving to a missionary, not going to happen. The only way for salvation is through Jesus Christ. Believing on him, accepting him as your personal Lord and Savior. I would invite, if you've never done that, if you've never made sure of your salvation, I want to invite you in just a moment to do that. Right here, right now. Listen, don't waste time. Don't play games. I shared with you earlier, I had three people that I know this week that passed away, every one of them from cancer. A few weeks ago, we were in Pensacola. There, a 19-year-old boy was doing work in the yard of one of the campus houses. A drunk driver came off the road and hit him and killed him. Folks, no one knows the day nor the hour. I don't do that to scare anybody. I share that because it's reality. It's truth. Don't waste time. Christian, quit playing church if you're playing. We're all called to be missionaries. Now, we need to do the work of the gospel. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you so much for this time you've given. Lord, I thank you so much for the privilege of being in your house this morning. Lord, I thank you for the good news of the gospel. I thank you, Lord, for knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that one day I'm going to go to heaven, not because of anything that I've done, but Lord, because of the work that you did upon the cross and the work that you did overcoming death and hell. Lord, thank you for that free gift. Lord, I thank you for these folks who are here this morning. I pray that you would just prick their hearts. Lord.